Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/StarTalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/StarTalk today.
Welcome to StarTalk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. StarTalk begins right now. This is StarTalk Sports Edition. Things you thought you knew. Yeah. Got Gary Reilly. Gary.
Hey, Neil.
Chuck Nice, my co-hosts here.
What's happening?
All right, guys. So we're going to do some explaining today. And I want to talk about the exit velocity of home runs in baseball. Ooh. You know, now that they can report this information, they do.
You mean like when you hit a baseball into space? What?
So, no, that would be escape velocity.
Oh, that's the escape
velocity. Okay.
Yeah,
Okay. Nobody done that yet, not even.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many steroids does it take to make that happen?
Be up there in the space station, a baseball goes by.
It's so like, what is the longest distance in Major League Baseball? Is it Fenway has the longest outfield?
Which is 400.
For the longest while, Yankee Stadium had the shortest and longest, well, in my childhood, there might have been earlier stadiums that came and went that I didn't know anything about. But in my childhood, Yankee Stadium had the shortest and longest points coexisting on a field. And the right field line was 297 feet. And left center was 460-something feet. It's so far away, they said, nobody's going to hit it out here. Let's put monuments out here. So there's a flagpole, there's monuments to old Yankee players. And so if you could hit the ball past the outfielders into that, it could bounce around the monuments and you get the inside the park home run. So, and so now because there's such analytics going on in baseball, they're tracking not only how far your home run goes. By the way, even if it lands in the upper deck, they will complete the parabola and then tell you how far away it would have landed if it hit, landed on a level surface with where you were standing when you hit it. So they'll do that.
Okay.
But they'll also tell you what the exit velocity is of the ball. And here's an interesting one, which I think is a little unfair. because it's ruining the weirdness of baseball. They'll tell you how many stadiums your home run would be a home run and how many other stadiums
it would not.
And it's almost cheapens it. You know, maybe I hit it there on purpose in this stadium, knowing right. I get a home run in this stadium. And I hit it somewhere else in a different stadium. Why are you going to take that from me? You know, why you got to be like that?
Yeah, well, the answer is I wasn't there.
And another point.
You know that, what? Right? You know that wouldn't have been a home run in the Green Monster. Yeah, well, good thing I'm in the Houston. Okay. Shut up.
And yeah. Also, consider the Yankees, which had all these, they're called the Bronx Bombers for a reason, right? They have very right. interesting historical home run hitters, Babe Ruth not the least among them. And many of those home run hitters were left-handed. And your power is when you pull the ball. And if you're left-handed, you just plunk the ball beyond the 296-foot foul line, and you've got a home run. So no one is subtracting away Babe Ruth home runs just because they would have only been a home run in Yankee Stadium with that shape. So,
right.
You know, if you're going to do this, then standardize every field, but then you lose the personality of every stadium.
Of every stadium.
You're changing
yeah, totally.
The sport. You're changing the sport. So back to exit velocity. So they've been tracking this. So a couple of interesting things to consider. They're typically, to get out of the stadium, the ball has to leave the bat, depends on the angle, of course, but has to leave the bat anywhere between 90 and 120 miles an hour. And depending on the angle, many of them that I've seen are between like 95 and 110 miles an hour, but you can easily pop home runs at 100 miles an hour exit velocity. But I have an issue, okay? The only way to get the velocity of the ball is to use a Doppler phenomenon on it. You use a Doppler speed gun, basically, what the cops use when they fire microwaves at you, wait for the return signal, see how much it has Doppler shifted, and then they can calculate, all right, based on the speed of the light and the return signal, how fast you were going, and they'll do that for how fast the baseball was going. Here's the problem. You only get the correct speed if you are looking exactly in the direction the ball is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. If you are at any angle to that, you will measure a lesser speed than the actual ball is moving. And if you are sideways to it, the speed you're going to measure is zero because the ball is neither coming towards you or away from you. That's the limit.
It's not reflecting any light back.
In the direction it's moving, correct.
Right, okay. In the direction it's moving.
Okay, so I don't know what they're doing to get the speed of the ball off the bat. Because if the ball goes up at an angle, which it does every time you're hitting a home run, is there a radar gun floating in the middle of the sky of the stadium? Okay, that's looking right down the path of the ball as it met the bat. I don't know, and I don't think so.
Is there a way to calculate the distance and travel time and the arc account for gravity and then say that that for it to reach this particular point, it would have to slow down this much and therefore it was going this speed as the moment it left the bat?
Okay, Chuck, that set of garbled phrases that came out of your mouth are all those are interconnected. Yes.
Okay.
There is an equation that will tell you how far an object will go, a projectile will go, if you know how fast it was launched and at what angle it was sent. Now, technically, you also want to know the air resistance and things, but that's a little harder if there's wind blowing behind it or in front of it. So you can treat it like it's, if there's no air resistance, you get like the perfect example of it. And the ball will just simply go a little less far because of the air resistance to it. Okay, or it might go farther if it has a tailwind. I mean, it could do either.
Yeah.
Point is, I don't know how they're getting the velocity off the bat unless they're measuring it straight on. If they're measuring it straight on, then they're getting the wrong speed. But then they have to measure the angle. Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another issue I have. The angle they're giving it is the angle the ball is leaving the bat with the horizontal. Okay?
Right.
All right. Was it 10 degrees up, 20, 30, 40? But that's not the angle that matters here. They're doing it wrong. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Because the angle the bat is swung at, okay, that's has to factor in here somehow, okay? Now watch what happens.
Right.
If I swing the bat horizontally, as you're trained in Little League, right? Good level mm-hmm. swing, okay? And the ball goes up at like a 45-degree angle, let's say.
Right.
Some of the speed of your bat went to send the ball forward, and some went to send the ball upwards. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The net speed is of the ball is less than that of your bat. Okay? And we can know exactly what this... It would be the square root of 2... It would be 1 divided by the square root of 2. Okay? If you do the math on that. Okay?
Okay.
But it comes mm-hmm. from the right triangles in your what you took right. in eighth grade. Okay? That's okay. the math that's in this. And you were probably thinking, Chuck, I will never need to know this.
I was about to say, yeah. it's so good to know that this has an application in baseball because I'm sure no one's sitting in the stands just like,
Okay, so watch what happens.
If only I could remember my Euclidean math. Right.
Oh, nice
we
job.
Would be able to write that down on your stat card. Listen,
there should be a little place on the when you're keeping score in baseball for this to happen.
So Neil, basically, what I'm hearing here as the token Brit, not being a baseball expert aficionado, is best an educated guess as rather than empirical evidence of accuracy as to the speed it leaves the pitcher's hand, the speed at which it...
No. We know the speed it leaves. We know the speed of the pitch because the...
Yeah,
it's looking straight at the pitcher.
Looking right mm-hmm. at the ball as it comes
looking
down the alley.
Right at the pitcher. So that's not a problem, okay?
Okay.
We got the speed of the pitch accurately. Not a problem. By the way, if it's one of these pitches that dips, depending on where they measured it, they're not going to get the full speed of the ball moving in its path because some of that speed is now no longer directly towards the speed camera, okay?
Yeah,
because the ball is dipping.
And same thing as a curveball too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Any ball that's not going straight at the camera, they're going to measure less than the actual speed. So a fastball straight on, they got it. But anything less...
What if they put a camera in the mound?
And watch it straight coming down behind them. Because you can measure it either way, the speeds.
No, I'm thinking for the hitter to get that head on. That wouldn't track at all.
No, he means to get the exit velocity if you had a camera in the mound.
No.
Looking at the batter, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no. Yes. Oh, the exit velocity of the hit. So all I'm declaring in this segment for you is either they have circumvented the laws of physics somehow in their measurements, or they're zealous with their ability to measure speeds of things because they've had the pitch of speed for decades now, all right? But now they can get bat speed and ball speed and launch angle. And I'm telling you that the launch angle is not being properly measured to be helpful in this exercise. And I'm telling you that if you take a level, and I'll tell you something else, the farthest you can possibly send a projectile is at a 45-degree angle. Okay? This is this is physics 101.
Yeah.
You do this like in the second week of class. However, if you hit the ball at a 45-degree angle, it will not go as far as if you hit it at a lesser angle. And so all of this matters to the batter, if they're thinking about it, if they remember their Euclidean geometry from eighth grade. Chuck, okay.
Don't we all?
Don't we all? So it turns out, for most swings, the ball will go much farther at like a 30-degree angle than at a 45-degree angle. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason. I don't know if we have time to get to it. There's a reason for that. And I think all these angles need to be rethought when they report it to the listener to explain what's going on so we can know who the power hitters are and why.
Ooh.
And that's all. That just sets the table for doing more of this in another things you thought you knew.
Wow, there you go. So here's the takeaway, people. Major League Baseball is lying to you.
No, I think
they are lying.
I think they're being zealous in their ability to measure. So then they put it, they measure everything.
Right.
And they think they're getting it right, and it's not. Okay. So there is a reason why the farthest balls are not hit at 45-degree angle. Okay. There's a reason for that. And but we don't have time for it. I'm sorry.
Well, that would have been a home run, but it looks like he hit it at a 45-degree angle. What a shame. What a shame. Just inside the park a little bit enough to be snagged at the wall. There you have it. Next time, try 30 degrees there.
That would completely change the commentary.
Who's next up? Pythagoras.
Oh, yeah, back up for Pythagoras, boy. All right, let's end it there. So, when we come back, we're going to find out why 45 degrees works in the physics textbook, but not on the baseball field.
Oh, that's called a cliffhanger.
All right, we'll see you in a moment.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
So, things you thought you knew. I got plenty more to say about exit velocity of baseballs. And it's been all the rage with the data. It's like people are data happy. It's like they can measure it and they put it out there.
It's and a good thing that we're going to get more because what we found out the last time was that Major League Baseball, there's a bunch of liars. Lying sacks of balls. That's what they are.
No. They want to believe they have deep insights into what's going on, where they give the exit velocity of the ball, the pitch, the launch angle from the bat. And
I blame Next Gen Stats for this.
Okay, but that's fine. But here's so let me remind everyone of the problem. Okay. I do not know how they are getting the actual velocity of the ball after it leaves the bat, which would require, one of the radar guns in the exact line of the ball itself.
Gotcha.
Okay. So one of these would have to be mounted in the catcher's groin, looking up at the ball.
Okay. By the way, you just made me want to watch baseball because I want to know what's happening with the groin cam.
The groin cam.
I'm all about the groin cam, okay?
Oh, no.
So, or a camera or a radar gun floating in the middle of the stadium in the air in the direction that the ball is hit so that the measurement is along the sight line of the camera itself, which is why the person measuring the speed of the pitcher sits behind home plate behind the screen, okay?
Yeah.
They're in the exact line, all right? And which is why if a cop stops you and they're not directly in front of you on
you're
the road.
You're black.
That's case
I'm pretty
one.
Sure
case
I clocked
two.
You at 90 miles an hour. Bro, you weren't even here. What are you talking about? You were sitting in the rest stop. What are you saying?
All right,
go ahead.
So the most accurate speed a cop can measure for your car is if they are standing right in front of your car while it's speeding and they take the measurement. But they're not going to do that because that's dangerous.
No.
So they go to the side of the road, okay? Or they'll catch you on a turn, which is fine because then you're coming straight at the camera.
Yeah, but either way, you didn't even see on them the because side of the road, based on what we just did in the last one, you're still guilty because that means they would measure you at a lower speed.
Correct. That's what I was getting at.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get you breaking the speed limit by measuring your speed at the side of the road, you're definitely breaking the speed had they measured it in the
officer,
road. So you got nothing to say.
I'm going to have to protest. I saw you on the side, and you saying you got me at 88 miles an hour, but you were on the side. Yeah, but I got you on the side, which means you were doing more than 88 miles an hour. Well, that's because I have a flux capacitor.
I forgot it was 88 miles an hour, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it was totally the flux capacitor. All right, so... Here's something we know in physics. If you want to send an object, a projectile, as far as possible from where you're standing, you want to throw it at a 45-degree angle, which is exactly midway between 0 and 90. Right. In that way, all the energy that lifts it equals all the energy that propels it.
Right.
Okay? And that way... neither one nor the other sort of wins out, thereby carrying the ball as far as it possibly can go. All right. So if you, I did this calculation for a pitched ball. All right. You can ask, what is the slowest pitch a pitcher can throw a ball so that it still reaches home plate? Do you ever wonder that?
Yeah. It's called Chuck Throws the Ball. As hard as he can. And it will go as slow as a ball can go to reach the home plate.
So I calculated at the distance, which is 60 feet, 6 inches. Of course, the pitcher's hand extends forward of the pitching mound, and the catcher sits behind home plate. So, you know, there's some... it's not exactly 60 feet, 6 inches, but it's close enough for this calculation. So the minimum speed that they can throw it and still reach the catcher is 30 miles an hour.
Okay.
That's thrown at a 45-degree angle. Okay? If you throw it at a lower angle than that, it'll hit the ground before home plate.
Mm.
If you throw it at a higher angle than that, it'll hit the ground before home plate. If you throw it at a 45-degree angle, you've maximized how far it'll take it. Okay, so... so what's going on in baseball? That is not the farthest home run if you hit it at 45-degree angles. Here's the problem. The problem is your bat speed is only moving in the direction your bat is moving. That sentence was stupid. Your bat speed is only in the plane in which you are swinging the bat.
Yep.
Okay. So, if you are swinging in the limit horizontally and the ball comes off at a 45-degree angle, you did not impart all the velocity of the bat to the ball.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's like a sense.
All right.
Now, think about it. If you swing the bat horizontally and the ball goes straight up, you imparted no forward velocity to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the question is, how do you maximize the velocity of the bat to be imparted into the exit velocity of the ball?
You get your GM to sign Aaron Judge. That's how you do it.
So the way to do this, but they're not going to do it, I'll tell you why in a minute, is to swing at a 45-degree angle.
Hmm.
Then... the 110-mile-an-hour moving bat will send the ball at 110 miles per hour at a 45-degree angle. All of the speed of the bat gets imparted to the ball.
Sometimes it looks like that happens when you see, like, these power hitters kind of, it looks like they go down and dig the ball up.
Yes. So what they're doing, from the angles I've seen, is they're swinging for the ball to go about 30 degrees up, okay? 45 they're not doing 45 degrees. 30 degrees with that power slugger, you know, down and up, those are coming in closer to 20 to 30 degrees angle. In so doing, 100% of the bat speed is transmitted to the ball. And at 30 degrees, even though that's not the best angle, it is the best combination of angle and speed given the configuration of what's going on at home plate.
Wow.
Okay, does any of this make sense? So, okay, now here's the problem. If you try to hit the ball at a 45-degree angle, but the ball is coming in horizontally, that's really hard. Because what's the limit of that? The limit of that is, let's say you want to swing vertically up at the ball as it goes by. What are the chances of you succeeding at that?
Right.
Okay. The ball's going by you at 90 miles an hour, and you're trying to chop at it, okay? Okay, so the steeper is your angle that you're swinging relative to the angle of the pitch coming in makes it harder to make contact with the ball. And a 45-degree angle, that would be really hard to do that. So you want at least some of the bat's plane to overlap the plane of the pitched ball, okay, so that you make some kind of contact at all. So when you combine a swing that's up at an angle, but not 45 degrees, but definitely not horizontal because you're not getting your full speed out of that, you combine that with a slugger who's moving his bat at 120, 110 miles an hour, the ball comes in, and there it goes, off at 110 miles an hour. You've got it. And there's your home run. But I can tell you, if batters manage to make contact at a 45-degree angle, they'd hit the ball 600 feet.
Wow.
I can tell you, if the batter managed to hit the ball at 45 degrees, they'd be maximizing the physics equation, and gone are your pop-outs. Because you would just be hitting home runs practically every time.
Look at that.
So, Neil, what difference does it make if we have two different body shapes? So you've got Aaron Judge at 6'6", and Altuve down there at 5' something.
It's all bat speed.
Okay, but their ability to get the angle correct on the swing.
Oh, well, with Altuve, what is he, 5'8"? So the strike zone is much lower for him, right? Mm-hmm. And smaller. So I don't see why he still wouldn't be able to swing up at a nice 30-degree angle.
Yeah, because you have the pitcher is kind of bound by the strike zone, and the strike zone is determined by the player.
By the size of the player. Correct. So I love players like Altuve because, no, he's not 6'7", or however big Judge is on the Yankees, and he popped home runs like, the best of them. And we can't ignore the value of technique, hand-eye coordination, response time, brain synapse. Am I going to swing at this pitch where I only have a fraction of a second to make that decision? And if I do swing, I have to position the bat where the ball is, where I think it will be when my bat goes through the strike zone. And so all I'm saying is it's hard to chop up at a ball to try to hit it. So you still want to swing mostly forward and get that bat speed on the ball as much as possible. So the big sluggers, they're not swinging horizontally. Take a look at their home run swings. It's up at an angle.
Look at that.
And there you have it.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, so the fact that... here's something interesting.
Now, what is the best angle
here's
for
a good
him?
One. Here, I got to go on. I got one. Here it is. You ready? You're at home plate, and you have a batter swing the ball at a pitch... And the exit velocity is like 100 miles an hour, and the ball goes, let's say, 400 feet, and it's a home run.
Okay.
Now get a pitcher who can throw the ball at 100 miles an hour and have them throw it at a 45-degree angle. They will throw the ball farther into the bleachers than the batter would have hit the ball into the bleachers.
Whoa.
Because you have home runs that go at 100 miles an hour. Okay? Exit velocity, 100 miles an hour. Well, I'm a good pitcher. I can throw the ball at 100 miles an hour. But I can choose what angle for all of that speed to come off my hand. And I'm going to choose 45-degree angle. But you, the batter, are swinging at a 30-degree angle. And so my throw is going to go farther than your hit.
Wow.
That's a weird little factoid.
That's right. Counterintuitive.
Right.
See, I would always look at a ball being hit traveling at a more shallow angle to travel further.
No.
And you're saying to me, I know, because I've listened to what you've said.
Yes.
And
okay. Thank you for listening to what I said.
Thanks. You're welcome. Uh-huh. In my mind, it will travel further. It also doesn't, and it will move... It will get to its destination quicker because the higher you go, the longer it takes to travel.
Correct.
That means guys in the outfield have more chance of getting to where that ball is and possibly catching
it. Only if it falls in the outfield.
Inside.
Right.
Yes.
Correct.
So I'm just wondering whether or not the technique is to go for a more shallow rather than to go for the optimum 45-degree angle.
I don't know that they have the ability to swing at a level pitch at a 45-degree angle. I just don't see that.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be a future thing they attempt, but it's hard enough hitting the ball, swinging in the same plane as the ball, and they miss most of the time, right? Nobody gets hits 50% of the time. They get hits 30% of the time, and they make it into the Hall of Fame, right? So making contact with a moving ball that the pitcher doesn't want you to hit is hard enough. And now changing the plane of the bat to get an angle so that the ball can hit farther, I bet you'd strike out all the much. You'd be a lesser offensive player because of how many more times you'd be missing the ball.
Well, there it is. It's bottom of the ninth. We've got two outs, and it's a full count. Judge at the plate, and here's the pitch. Oh, look at that. It looks like he was trying to execute a perfect acute angle strike on the ball, but unfortunately, it looks like he formed a perpendicular line to the bisector and ended up being a big pop-out.
I love your fake made-up words along the way.
Yeah.
So in summary... it's not realistic to swing the bat at a 45-degree angle. It's very hard to hit a moving target that way. So you pick a lower angle, such as 30 degrees, that still gives you a good chance of making contact with the ball, And most of the bat speed will be transmitted to the ball, okay? To the forward motion of the ball. And if you swing the bat at 120 miles an hour, let's say, at the point of contact with the ball, a 30-degree angle, if you swing horizontally and it goes up at a 30-degree angle, the cosine of 30 is 0.86, round that off to 0.9. So the ball is still hit with 90% of the speed of your bat. So you're still doing well there. And if you increase the angle just a little bit, then all the bat speed goes to the ball and the ball is launched at your bat speed. And I'm still question what numbers they're using in baseball. But everything I told you works regardless of how they measure it.
I think what we have learned here is that Neil deGrasse Tyson is the only person that can have this conversation at a baseball field.
What they should be measuring is not the angle the ball is with the field. Right. They should be measuring the angle the ball takes off from the swing plane of the bat.
Gotcha.
Okay? And that will tell you how much speed is not going to the ball that the bat had on contact. Okay? Because when the angle is 90 degrees, there's no forward speed going to the ball. It's a straight pop-up back to the catcher. All right? So you can learn a lot that way by getting these numbers accurate. And tell me the angle at which the batter swung the bat. I want to know that too. Okay?
So what we need to do is put a request out to our audience who are incredibly knowledgeable and say, do you have the answer to Neil's question? How are these metrics, how is this data being captured? And if needs be, come and speak to Neil and we'll put you straight.
Yeah, I don't think that they're doing it right. I don't see how they could possibly be doing it. And I think the angle, it's not the interesting angle, the angle to the horizontal. It's the angle to the bat. That's a way more... And so, what angle do you want the ball to come off the bat with? You tell me right now after this conversation.
45 degrees.
No.
Back of the class for me.
What angle do you want it to come off the bat relative to the plane that you swung at?
Come off the bat relative to... I want it to come off the bat straight off the bat.
Thank you.
Zero degrees
off the bat.
Right off the bat.
Okay. So if I'm swinging at 30 degrees, the ball is also coming off at 30 degrees. And all of my bat speed goes to the ball. That's what you get. So Chuck, you moved gold star on the wall. Gary, you come to my office hours later.
Okay. Yeah, I get it. So this is what the hitters call sweet spot. If they can hit full on and then not deviate the angle of which their swing is at, they don't get... Remember the guy, Jeff Blum, who won World Series with the White Sox back in 2005? I think it was. He said if he hits it
you can
bad,
feel it. He hurts his hands.
Yeah, he gets a handful of... No, he said a handful
of
bees.
Yeah, feel the sting.
But that's... I mean, the bat... Because they still use wood instead of aluminum use like leather and pine tar and spit... And baseball is still 100 years old in its technologies, and they still use human judgment to decide whether a ball goes inside of a rectangle, all right? And so all of this is still the case.
It's a sweet spot. So he knows intuitively that he's hit it sweet.
Because
that's
they're still,
the direct.
Because they're still using wood, and wood has grain, there is a sweet spot on the bat, like there's a sweet spot on a tennis racket. There's a sweet spot on the bat where all the grain is working in your favor, and it's where all the grain lines up, okay? And you want tight grain in your bat, ideally. When I was in Little League, my best bat was one that had the tightest grain. You want to make contact where the grain is all lined up, all right? And that's why they put the stamp on what we call the top of the bat, where there is no grain exposed. And you can swing either with that facing you or facing away. And that will line up the grain properly. So if you hit the ball correctly, you get this. You get what they say, good wood on the ball. And I like joking in Little League now because they all use aluminum bats. They say, "Oh, you got good aluminum on that." All right, guys, we got to take a quick break. But when we come back, more of things you thought you knew on Star Talk Sports Edition.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back. Things we thought you knew. Sports edition. So, guys, yeah. I got something. We're in the theme of baseball here. So, I just want to. It's not often I say nice things about the human species.
All right.
Just as an organism, it's not often I do because
we don't deserve it.
You know, if you compared us to the rest of the animal kingdom, if you had an all animal Olympics. There's not a single event we would win. Maybe the shooting, all right, or whatever that. But
how about complaining?
Complaining, maybe we'll win that. But running, jumping, you know, lifting, all of this, I don't think we would be. So here's something we're really good at. And you don't need much training.
Sitting on the couch eating potato chips.
That's one. Another one is, if you see a projectile in the air and you want to catch it and you run at just the right speed so that you are where the projectile lands in your mitt when you arrive.
Okay.
This is an extraordinary feat that I don't think we give ourselves enough credit for.
Oh, I disagree. We give ourselves tons of credit for that because there are guys that we pay millions of dollars to do just that with millions of dollars.
Allow
the globe.
But you don't have to be a million-dollar player to be able to catch a ball in the outfield. Okay?
I know, but Neil, you just have to have such a hand-eye coordination. You have to have an extra kind of sense sometimes because you do see
this
some
is
people
my point.
Who are
I'm saying that,
uncoordinated
that
completely.
Extra sense is common in our species. That's all I'm saying. It's why you have like weekend softball games with middle-aged men. Okay, where they can still catch the ball running in the outfield, and they were never professional. You have Little League and Pony League and Double A, Triple A, and the majors. Yeah. Everybody, it's softball. Everybody can run and be where the ball is when it lands. And if they miss it, it's because they weren't fast enough. Not because if they were fast enough, they would have still missed it, okay? So I'm just trying to tell you that you can solve this mathematically, and we do this in Physics 101. Where you have a projectile, and its arc is well approximated by a parabola, which is a particular shape that things will take when they're in free, under the influence of gravity and only gravity. And it comes close, it's not the exact shape, but it's close enough for almost any purpose that we have here. And so there's a parabola, we have an equation for that. Okay, and so the equation is not only for the shape, but for the object that's following the parabolic path. Where is that object at one half of a second? at 1 second, at 2 seconds? Has it landed yet? How many seconds is it airborne? We know the complete trajectory of that parabola because I can write it down.
Mm-hmm.
We have these equations, okay? Then there I am running in a straight line at a constant speed. And I want my path through space, which is on the field, okay? I want my path on the field to intersect this parabola moving through the air so that we arrive at the same place at the same time. Just think of that. That's not a trivial, you solve it with simultaneous equations, all right? I don't know if you remember that from your ninth grade math. All right. When do you learn simultaneous? I forgot when.
I went to Philadelphia Public School, so.
Philadelphia Public School.
I think I'm going to take that now. Course next year.
Stop. Stop. Talking smack about Philadelphia Public. I'm sure there's some fine teachers and fine schools.
I went to one of them.
Didn't your mama teach in the public schools?
And she taught at the companion school that I attended, as a matter of fact, which is a STEM academy, so I should shut up.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, all right. Well, your mama come back and slap
will.
Your
she
ass.
She would be very upset that I'm making fun of her. She would be really bad now that you think about it.
All right, Gary, what do you got?
All right, well, we've got Chuck's on the naughty step for now. You think about this, and the guy's in the outfield with his mitt. He's not got any calculations going on a calculator, on a piece of paper. This is all going off in here. This is intuitive. But also add into that, I have done this so many times. I've also now got what I would call in-game intelligence. Who's pitching? What pitch are they going to deliver? And who's hitting? What's their go-to? How's that going to come? So I might even, before this wood hits the ball, I'll have already moved myself into a certain position, anticipating the potential of this ball coming. This is all in-game intelligence. And then they'll adjust because they know once that exit angle is visible, they will move accordingly.
Yes.
And it's all of this going on in here, just brilliance.
What else you also have to learn is if they hook or slice the ball, then the spin on the ball makes it not entirely ballistic, okay? There's an aerodynamic force operating, so that it'll hook, depending on if it's a right-handed batter or left-handed batter, it'll hook left or slice right, to borrow terms from golf. And so you not only have to run fast enough to be where the ball would have been in a purely ballistic trajectory, you have to then compensate for it with the extra move. That's why you see these guys running full force into the foul lines and into the embankments, because depending on what was a left-handed batter or a right-handed batter, the ball had extra sideways drift to it. That's harder to get right. And that'll get almost everybody but a professional player, and it even gets professional players every
now and then. And that is why what both of you said, the place hitters are the guys that are so squirrely and difficult to play against, because they don't match up with that. It's like, oh, we know that this guy pulls left. We know, but the place hitters are like, yeah, I'm going this way now. I see you guys shifted. I'm going the opposite direction.
So my issue with that, Chuck, I want to so badly believe that. Okay. And I sort of do.
Right.
But if most of the time you don't get a hit, who are you to say that the one time you did get a hit, I meant that.
Right.
If you really meant it, then do that all the time. If you can't do that, if 70% of the time you're walking home, 75% of the time you're going back to the dugout after you saw 10 pitches, then who am I to believe you that you have any control at all?
Right.
Okay? So someone explained it to me after a while, because they were tired of hearing me rant about this. And they said, you can swing in such a way so that if you hit the ball, it goes where you want.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's how
those are the guys I forget his name. He used to always get them. Was it Paul Olerud? Was his name? I think. Anyway, but there's guys that just consistently get on base, and they're like contact hitters. They're not trying. They're just like, I don't give a damn. I'm just going to let the bat touch the ball, and that's it. And then I'll go from there.
Yeah, but still 70% of the time they don't get a hit. Yeah. So just to be clear. Mm.
But the thing is, Neil, a hitter will have to read the field. Because if the field is misplaced and he doesn't read it, and he does make the contact, and he hits it to where it's overloaded. He's screwing his chances up. So he's got to have some awareness.
I agree. All that's true, but I'm making a more pure physics comment.
I understand that.
Any fly ball that you can catch, you will now occasionally, if you're really fast and you can run to it and just wait for the ball to come into your mitt. Right? That can happen. But for so many fly balls, they're running at just the rate
necessary.
So that they're exactly and necessary, just so they're exactly when the ball hits. And they're generally not running their fastest for most of those catches. They're running at the rate that their brain, like you said, Gary, that the brain tells them is the right speed to be where the ball is so that they're at the same place at the same time. That is a simultaneous physics equation that you do in Physics 101, and humans do it in their head almost intuitively. And I'm just very proud of us for that. Yes, there's some people who are not coordinated and may never be coordinated, and they were never on the field to begin with, or they were on the field once. And they were never invited back. But this feature of the human mind that I'm telling you about is so widespread that I think it's something inherent in just what it is to be human.
I'm trying to figure out what task would we have needed to develop this skill? Because, I mean, it would have to be something in our evolutionary past.
Okay, suppose it's your dinner. Back when we were hunter-gatherers, and you have a spear, and you are running to intersect your dinner.
Well, that's a good motivation.
Yeah.
That's a good motivation. But you have a spear, so you don't have to be in that exact spot. But if you ran in a way that you didn't close your distance to it, you died because you were not fed.
So the thing is, Neil, go back.
I don't know if that's true, Chuck, but I'm making that up as some plausible explanation. Sense. Right.
You know when you said about running towards the ball?
Yes.
And sometimes they don't run at their top speed.
Because they don't have to. And they don't run to the ball. Oh, by the way, and I've done this experiment with children, right? If you do, to your point, Gary, do you learn this or is it intuitive? Is it a sixth sense? So if you take a toddler, and you roll a ball to them, they will go to where they see the ball is. Not to where they project the ball will be when they get there. And starting around six, maybe, or seven, from my test that I've done, they will begin to anticipate where the ball will be, factoring in the rate at which they close in on the ball so they can get there at the same time.
Also factoring in that they've been hit in the face with a ball many, many times, misjudging where it will be.
Chuck, don't bring your childhood into the middle of this show. Don't bring your childhood traumas.
You will learn as an athlete. And I learned this, and there's a phrase I'm going to use just in a second when I'm playing football, soccer. And it's, don't let your own speed beat you. So if you run too fast towards the object that you're trying to get, then your own speed.
In football, they call that over pursuit, and it's something that defensive players do. And you're right; it's a detriment because they anticipate the play being at point A, and they're so quick to get to that point, but the play shifts in that fraction of a second, and now they're standing there in the middle of nowhere because.
Plus, if you get there quicker than you need to, you have to use energy to slow down that you wouldn't have otherwise needed.
Or you missed your object. It's speed with intelligence.
Yes.
And it's being able to, and this comes from just years of experience. Some people have a better level of in-game intelligence to begin with. Some people get that through experience. Those people who have a higher level get that experience. They get even better.
And you know what's interesting in American football, there's the chase of the guy running down the line with the ball, right? And so everyone is trying to get him. They know the guy's fast, so you're not going to catch him from behind because he's a running back or he's a wide receiver, whatever. They're the fastest players on the field, so you're not going to chase them down. If you were that fast, you should have been on the offense instead of the defense. All right. So the only players that have any chance are the ones that come into them
playing
at
the
an
angles.
Angle. And you see these people descending on them at an angle. And of course, they're running to where they will be when the runner gets there, unless the runner puts a move on them, of course.
But
which
then
happen.
They they cut inside. There's a little chop and they use the speed of the pursuer to beat them.
Yes.
I mean, it's just... And it's...
If it was a pure intersection of lines, you would run at the rate that you would intersect them when you got there. But of course, it's a living, breathing action sport, right? So...
We're taking it back to baseball. Mm-hmm. You've got this guy in the outfield. Ah, look, he's lucky. He catches it all the time. He's lucky. No, he's not. He's known where to be at that moment.
I agree.
Over and over again.
Plus, now they have data on where the batter hits the ball 50% of the time.
So, yeah, but the whole argument a few years ago about the shift, this whole idea of like, you're ruining the game because you're making it so that it's people can't really get hits because everybody's positioning themselves based on
and
the
I'm
data.
Saying, if you're a batter, hit in the other freaking direction. We pay you $1 zillion a year. Hit the other way.
Yeah.
All right. Don't blame the outfielders for figuring you out. I blame the batter for not
being able to adjust,
staying wide on the field. Right. So I don't.
So the thing is, you're looking at guys who are that good in the outfield. They're the guys that have read the scouting reports and the data.
So here's
the
a question.
Who aren't good haven't read it.
Here's a question I have not successfully answered for myself. And I've taken this to some cybermetric people and they scratched their head a bit. So here it is.
And you think I have the answer? Yeah.
No, but you have performed professionally on a soccer field. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'll have a go.
Okay. Yep. If you are fast and you play in the outfield, if you are fast, do you make more or fewer spectacular catches?
I'm going to say fewer. Because you're so fast you're getting there to make it look easy.
If I never show up on the highlight reel, it means I'm faster than everyone else who did.
See, because you know what makes the highlight
reel? I don't have to make a shoestring. I don't have to make a shoestring catch because I'm standing there waiting for the ball.
So the other side of that is my speed, I'll call it electric speed because I'm bigging myself up, allows me to cover more of the outfield.
This is what I'm getting.
The ball that the slower athlete can't get, I'll get. And I'll get that that highlight reel catch time after time after time.
So
because
that's the rebuttal, Chuck. Gary said.
My perimeter is bigger.
Than yours is if I run faster.
Yeah, and
than
you know what we call that? So, you know what we call that, right? We call that an outfield hog. Okay, you're left field. You're left field. What the hell are you doing over here in center field? Because I had it. I said I got it. What part of I got it? Don't you understand? You big outfield hog, showboating piece of crap. You. This is why our clubhouse cannot get along. Guys like you, showboating all the time.
Chuck, this is not baggage hour from your little league trauma, okay? So for me, those two competing facts have prevented me from settling on whether my speed with my bigger perimeter means there will always be the ball that I will shoestring catch, and I'll simply make more outs. I'll perform more outs than someone who's shorter. But yet we'll both be on the highlight reel. My personal jury is still out on that. I wonder if it can be solved mathematically.
My personal jury is keep your stats on your side of the field. Center field is mine.
All right.
All right. So three cheers for the human mind, eye, brain, hand coordination. And the fact that we can do what would otherwise take the solutions of simultaneous equations and graph paper to figure out. All right. Good to be human. You agree, Chuck? You agree, Gary?
For catching crap,
occasionally.
Occasionally. All right, dudes.
Good stuff.
There it is. That's things you thought you knew. Yet another installment. Always fun doing these with you guys, Chuck, Gary. Things you thought you knew.
Pleasure.
Sports Star Talk, Sports Edition. I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson. Keep looking up.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door.
Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday Savings only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.